Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
Now we're going to look in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning till midday, before the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So we've been looking at Nehemiah and how he is rebuilding. And we've been correlating this with rebuilding our own personal lives and applying it in the same way. So remember, we were in chapter 6 last week. They tried to get the people from within. It wasn't Sanballat and all them. It was the people within tried to get to the leader. And they tried to get him to compromise. They said, "Oh, just come on and sit at the table." And they said, "Kept coming. Come on and just sit down and talk to us." And Nehemiah says, "No, because I know all you really want to do is do me harm." He knew that they were rats, right? Now, what was the next thing? Gossip. Malicious gossip. They began to gossip and spread gossip to try to keep the work from continuing. And so, what was the last one? Family ties. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes, what will keep you from rebuilding your life is right there in your own household. Right there in your own family. Come on. Now, today, we're in Nehemiah 8, and revival is breaking out. Real revival. They were at the water gate. The water gate represents the Word of God. The Bible says we're to be washed in the water of the Word. They were at the water gate, and the water gate was the only gate that they didn't have to rebuild. They didn't have to restore it or refurbish it because it wasn't destroyed. The Word of God will endure forever. See that? That's why they didn't have to do anything to the water gate, because it was still working. Now, I've got something I want you to see here. You got my picture? That is Norman Selby. His nickname was Charles the Kid McCoy. And he was a welterweight champion back in the late 1800s. And Ring Magazine voted him as one of the top 100 fighters in the world because of his effective right-hand punch. He was in a bar one night, and he was all dressed up and in this bar, and this guy came up and started messing with him. And he said to him, he says, "You know what, you need to back off because I'm Charles the Kid McCoy." And this big guy says, "You know, you're not Charles Kid McCoy." And he kept pushing him and messing with him. So Charles Kid McCoy took that right hand and boom, knocked him out right in the bar. And when he came to, he woke up, he sat up, and he said, "Oh my God, that was the real McCoy." That's not a joke. That's real. That's where that came from. We still say that today. That's the real McCoy. And so people, because he was so good and effective, people would always say, "Hey, I'm the Kid McCoy." And he hated it. So he started to tell everybody, "I'm the Kid, the real McCoy." That's the idea. We want to be the real McCoy. And we want to be effective.
at what we do.
Real revival is effective.
A lot of people have this idea about revival is, well, we're going to get a tent and all these people are going to come and get saved. That's not revival. Revival is revive. Re back to something that you've already have. And it's getting life. Believers who are getting excited and their hearts on fire for God. We've been talking on Wednesday nights about out of Revelation, and he says to return to your first love. The word first means early. Your early love. Get excited. The way you loved me at the first when you first got saved, return to that. That excitement, that being enamored with him and giving him everything. See, that's the way God wants you to do about him. And he wants you to stay that way. He doesn't care how long you've been a believer or how much scripture you have memorized. He's concerned about you and him and his relationship with him. That's what revival is. People move away from that. And so God wants us to stay in that. Now, so he stood up at the water gate. Now, listen. And they told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book. Bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. Revival always starts with the word of God. So Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding of the first day, on the first day of the seventh month. Like I said, revival always starts with the word of God. In Psalms 119, nine times it talks about revive us. And it's always connected to the word of God. You see, we can get lukewarm and lose our sensitivity towards the word of God. And we need to examine our hearts. Nehemiah, let's look at Nehemiah real quick, 1-3. What does real revival look like? I've just read verse 1 and 2. Now I'm going to read 3. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. The book of the law was the Pentateuch, the first five books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's the Pentateuch. Five parts. The word Pentateuch means five parts. Revival always starts with the word of God. So number one, we have to have a desire for the word of God. See, they were hungry for his word. It says that they began to speak and read in the morning, and they went to midday. They were there for between 5 and 6 hours. They were so hungry. They wanted the word of God. They wanted to hear what God has to say. In Jeremiah 15:16 says, your words were found and I ate them, and they became the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Folks, it's not enough to just come here and hear a message on Sunday. You need to have a hunger yourself and be feeding on the word of God yourself on a continuous basis. Job 23:12 says, your word is more important to me, more necessary than my own food. In other words, the word of God was more important to Job than meat and potatoes. Folks, we got to get to a place where we are giving God's word attention. In Proverbs 4:20, he says, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all your flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Folks, listen to me. When you get the word of God in you and it begins to work in you, it's going to bring change in your life. And folks, it's always going to bring joy. It's always going to bring joy. And it's not just having it memorized, it's you giving it attention and really getting in it and musing on it and meditating on it and letting it do a work in your heart. Am I making sense? Give attention to my word. He wants you to give attention to his words. Folks, too many times people go to church, what's he got today? We got to get rid of that attitude. We have to have more of a reverence for God's word. It says they stood up. They stood up when the word of God was read. You know what? That's why we stand up. The last time I preached on this series years ago, we started standing up and giving God's word honor. Folks, that's the way we need to stay. We're going to keep standing up because I believe we got to honor God's word and keep it in its rightful place. Am I making sense? So we have to have a desire for his word. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says, like newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word. That's the way we should be. You know, when I remember when my kids were born, I remember I'd have to get up and I'd be crying, and they wanted fed now, not in a little while, now. That innate desire, hunger, that's the way God, we should have a hunger and a desire. You know, that's a mark, that is a mark that you truly have been born again, that you have a desire to hear what God has to say, and you have a desire for his word. You know, I like to eat. I enjoy eating, you know. Now, when you don't eat, you're sick. That's when we don't eat, usually we're sick. See, some of you are sick, and it's sin. That's the way it is, folks. You see, when we're in sin, and there, that's a spiritual sickness, and it keeps you from his word. You don't want to get near it because it's saying, hey, I'm trying to help you out here. You see, when you're sick, you don't want it. And you know, there's another reason why you don't want it, why you're not hungry. You're dead. The Bible says you were once dead in your trespasses and sin. See, if you're spiritually dead, dead people don't hunger, right? So if you're spiritually dead, you're not going to hunger for the word. Some of you are here and you're spiritually dead. Well, you're here, so maybe you can get alive, right? You were once dead in your trespasses and sin, but now he has made you alive unto him spiritually. And see, that's where you really, when you really begin to live, is when you're spiritually alive. That's what, because you're a spiritual being. Folks, spiritually dead don't want anything to do with God's word. Now, number two, there's a response to the word of God and where there's real revival. Verse 4. So Ezra, the scribe, stood on the platform. Ezra, see, now Ezra's reading. Ezra was the Bible expositor, the one who was breaking down the word of God and helping. Nehemiah wasn't gifted that way. He was more gifted in the government and the rebuilding of the wall, the contract and all that. That wasn't his thing. But now it's Ezra. Ezra is reading and breaking the word open to help them understand. Now look, so Ezra the scribe stood on the platform of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him at his right hand stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, Maaseiah, and at his left hand, yeah, that one and this one too, and then the rest of that bunch. Verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, amen, amen, while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Folks, listen to me. When you are in revival, you respond to the word of God. Amen. You'll shout amen. You'll say, that's right. Because something, you're in agreement. You see that? There's a response. Or you'll raise your hands. You know, some people, they lift their hands like this. You see, when you lift your hands, that's a response. That means you're receiving from God. And then some people lift their hands like this. That means you're surrendering to God. You see, it's very biblical to raise your hands. So don't say, well, they raised their hands at that church and you don't want to go there. Because folks, raising your hands is very biblical. David did it. Paul did it. Folks, that's very, very biblical. That's a response to the word of God. Now, number three, understanding. Now, verse 8, look at this. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to what? Understand the reading. Where there's real revival, there's understanding happening. It's so important that we understand. In Proverbs 4:7, it says, in all you're getting, get understanding. It's important that we understand. Because when you understand, now you can stand under the things that are going to come at you. Are you with me? And try to keep you from the plan and purpose of God. You can stand under. Understand. Am I making sense? In Ephesians 4:17, he says, don't walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance and the blindness of their heart. You see, if they remain ignorant and spiritually blind, it alienates you from the life God has for you. But when you understand, it brings you into that life. Are you with me? You're not alienated, separated from the life God has for you because it brings understanding. You see, when you begin to understand, it changes the way you think. It changes the way you go. That's why he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down from heaven and the snow and does not return there, but it waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be. It shall not return to me void, but it will accomplish what I please, and it will prosper in the thing for which I have sent it. And then you will be led out with joy and walk in peace. You see, real revival happens when you begin to understand and you begin to change the way you think and you begin to change the way you go. Now you're walking in true joy and you have real peace. Am I making sense? And that's going to come from God's word. It's always going to come from him in a response to that. That's how it is, folks. And see, when we have real revival, people are going to be changing. And you're going to say, hey, people are going to come up to you. What do you got? You got joy. There's something going on inside of you. They're going to want to know what you got. You won't even have to tell everybody. They're going to want to know what you have. And that's going to open the door up for you to share with them. Joy is a mark of someone who's in revival. You can't fake joy all the time. Your countenance displays. When you got an old negative prune sucking on lemons countenance, that lets you know a lot about you. That just tells everybody. But if there's joy, folks, a lot of times people go through things and you can't even tell it because they have joy. It's not based on circumstances or what's happening around them or what's happened to them. It's based on their relationship with God and receiving that revelation, that word, and them applying it. And they're changing the way they think. And they're changing the way they go. Because his ways are higher and his thoughts are higher. All right. So they get understanding. Now, let's look in verse 9. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Now look, let's back up in the first part. It says, so they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, verse 8, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. You know who helped them? The people. They got in small groups and they began to discuss what they were hearing from Ezra. If you're not plugged into a small group, you're not going to grow spiritually. You need to be involved in a home group. It's not just enough to come hear me preach and just think that's going to be enough. You need to have a small group. You get and you discuss what's being taught and what's being preached, and you understand it, and you muse on it, and you begin to grow, and it begins to really change your life. But if you just come and hear a message, there's no accountability. There's none of that. But when you get together in home groups, they taught each other. They began to share. See, some people don't like home groups because it gets below the surface. It's like you have to show some warts and you got to get honest and real with people. You see, people don't like to do that. Well, see that, then your rebuilding isn't going to take place. But if you're willing to do that, real revival is going to take place.
All right, let's look at, we're still in verse 9. Let's go to verse 10. Now, wait. Now, think about this. Verse 9, we just said, "This day is holy to the Lord. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept." You see how they honored God's word? There was conviction. As he shared the word of God, people began to weep. And you know what was going on? I need to change that in my life. I'm not really doing that in my life. I need some of that. The word of God has a way of reading you. I've had people, I can't tell you how many times they say, "Were you in my living room this week listening?" People think, but it's not me, it's the word. That's why the prophet in Luke 2, Simon said that this Jesus, he will reveal the hearts of men and he will be like a sword. See, when you preach Jesus, he's the word. When you preach the word of God, it uncovers your heart and lets you see what's in your heart spiritually. It cuts you open spiritually and it shows you, it's between you and God, and it's showing you who you are. And it's saying, you know, you need to make some changes in this area. And that's why it's so important to keep hearing and coming and hearing and coming. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. In Psalms 86:5, it says, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you." He is there and waiting for you to call upon him, and abundant in mercy and forgiveness. When you confess your sins, he throws it in the sea of forgiveness. He can't even have an ability to remember it anymore. That's good news right there. But you see, people allow that to keep them from it. We need to run to God, right? Run to him, and he will begin to cleanse you. He cleanses you and brings that freedom in your heart so you can be who God has created you to be. I'm going to ask you right now to think, what do you think God thinks about you? When he thinks about you, I want you to ponder that right there. What do you think when God thinks about you? What do you think he thinks about you? Some of you think he's disappointed, or he's displeased, or he's disgusted. You know what? He's not disappointed. He's not disgusted or displeased with you. He may be disappointed, displeased, or disgusted with some of the things you're doing, but he's never disgusted with you. He loves you. He wants the best for you, and he is continually looking over you. He loves you. He loves the prostitute as much as any one of us in here. He loved Hitler as much as Jesus. What? Right. That's because that's the way God is. He's always trying to get our attention because he loves us. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, this is what happens when you wake up in the morning. "The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." God is rejoicing over you. He wants you to get in the praise, in the rejoicing as well. He is looking over you and he loves you. I'm here to tell you, don't let anything or anyone make you think that God doesn't love you. Because he loves you. It's so high you can't get over it. It's so low you can't get below it. It's so wide you can't get around it. It's so long you'll never find the end of it. His love, it can't even be measured for us. And when we tap into that and connect with that and begin to be in relationship with that, it brings change in your life. Now, here's number 5. Obedience to the word. Back to Nehemiah 8. All right, now look at this. I'm going to just read verse 15. "And that they should announce and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go out to the mountain and bring olive branches, branches of oil, trees, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of leafy trees to make booths as it is written." They did that. They built little huts like we saw, much like we saw in this video, with straw roofs. And they lived in them for 7 days. Because God said to, they responded in obedience to his word. Where there's real revival and people are hungry
and people will respond to God's word, there is obedience to God's word. Obedience to his word is essential to be able to rebuild your life. Some people just want to hear God's word. You can't just hear it. You got to do more than just hear it. It says in James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And remember, I did a study on that, and the hearer is the word acroate, and that means to audit. So in other words, God is saying, don't just be a person who audits God's word. See, the people that James were talking about is they would audit. They would go from church to church, and they just wanted to hear a good teaching so they could talk about it and make it look like they were spiritual. But you see, when you just audit something, you don't have to take the exam, the test. And God is always going to test you. So he doesn't want you to just be a hearer. He wants you to be a doer. You see, when you're a doer, now you're taking some exams. And God wants you to pass the test. So he doesn't want you to just audit and come here and take notes, get notebooks full of notes. What is that if you're not doing anything? So don't just be someone who takes notes and doesn't do anything. The Pharisees were famous for knowing the law, the Bible, the word. And Jesus always came around the corner on them. And he would show them. He said, Jesus would say, have you not read? And they would think, well, we know the law. We know the word inside and out. He says, well, if you knew it, you would come to me. You see, that's what he was saying. If you knew it, the scriptures speak of me, and you would come to me and listen to me. But they didn't want to listen to him. See, that's what happens to religious people. They want to act and they want to go here, but they don't really want to do. And they want to talk and they want to run from this place and that, and they just want to, but they really don't want to do. It says in John 13:17, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. It's not enough just to know it. You can have every scripture memorized and still be dead spiritually because you're not doing anything. It's in the doing that you begin to grow and mature. Sometimes people who have been in church the longest are the meanest, nastiest, and most cranky to be around. They don't want change, and if this is going to change, they're the first one you disrupt in some. Well, why do we got to do that? Well, what are we going there for? That's someone who's just concerned about themselves. They haven't been doing anything. That's not real revival, is it? But now look at this. Verse 17. So the whole assembly of those who had returned from captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until that day, the children of Israel had done so. And there was very great, what? Gladness. You see, there's gladness when you get involved, when you do things. Real revival begins to take place. But if you're just a spectator and you just want to hear something make you sound good at work and you're just taking notes, and that's not going to get anything accomplished. But when you really get involved, there's joy. And everybody pitches in and helps out. When we work together, that is joy. Because it's the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Joy is a mark of the kingdom. And that's what we're advancing, is the kingdom. And folks, where there's real revival, it's effective. It's the real McCoy.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Our church office and 7 p.m. Saturday evening worship services are held at 340 West Russell Road. Our 10:30 a.m. Sunday service is held at Christian Academy School, located at 2151 West Russell Road. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.